The gospel reading is from John chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 through 51. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The word of the Lord.
In the past couple weeks, I've had kind of the same conversation in three different ways. I've had it once face-to-face, once in a small group, and once online. And the basis, the essence of the conversation was, how do we answer the question, how do we believe in God? How do we know God? How do we come to have faith in God? Well, the first time, I didn't say anything because I thought, oh, that's the million-dollar question here. I'm not going to have anything to say. The second time that the conversation came up, I came up with some standard religious, churchy answer. But the third time, I thought, no, I've got this. How do we come to know God? I said, how do we come to enter into any significant relationship in our life? It's the same way. Now, don't be thinking like somebody did after Wednesday night, thinking, oh, so I can meet God on Facebook? Because he met his wife on Facebook. No, my point is, in any significant relationship in your life, you felt called into it, drawn into it. There is an attraction there, right? It's the same with God. Jesus said that. No one comes to the Father to me except that the Father draws him. This is why there's not a person who's been married or is married who can't tell the story of how they met, right? That initial meeting or couple meetings where all of a sudden that love, you fell into love. It wasn't even a choice, was it? You were attracted, so attracted to that woman, so attracted to that guy. Most of us can remember when you met your best friend in life, huh? One of my best friends back at seminary, I remember the first time I met him, I was in a Kmart store with my roommate there. We were getting some stuff for our dorm room, and we met another guy that we recognized from the dorm, another seminary student. And so we were sitting there chit-chatting, getting to know each other, and all of a sudden his roommate came around the corner with a little plastic machine gun and started shooting us in the Kmart. And I thought, this is the weirdest person I ever know, and he's going to be a pastor. Well, the second time I met him, it was in a larger group, and I thought, oh no, this nutcase is here. But he sat down with the group, and he entered into conversation. He had a warm sense of humor. He had good insights, and I thought, I got to get to know this guy, and I still know him to this day. We're drawn. There's something that attracts us. Anyone who's a grandparent knows your first grandchild. What an ability to draw love from your heart that you never even knew that you had. So Jesus, a master teacher, knows that no one comes to me except that the Father will draw them. So he's working on drawing people. Immediately following this, preceding this gospel lesson, Jesus has just fed thousands of people. There's nothing that draws people like food, is there? Nothing gets to us. One of the most basic needs of our lives. Interesting, I was saw an article online about a sporting goods company that were trying to attract the younger generation, the millennials, because they're not as interested in Nikes and everything as everyone else. So how did they want to introduce their product to them? They invited them to a brew pub where they could have their selected brews, unique brews. And they also had locally sourced artisanal appetizers as well. Food and beverage, it always draws people in. But Jesus knows you have to go beyond that. Hunger is just one of the most basic needs and not one of the most important. Well, it is one of the most important needs of our life. But as he knew, you can't live by bread alone. There's something more. And so once he had their attention, he drew them closer. He enticed them into something else. He said, I am the bread of life. You eat this, you'll never go hungry again. What is he talking about? There are deeper hungers in our lives that are calling us. What is he talking about here? There's an interesting book I've read, N.T. Wright. He's written Simply Christian. It's a chance to make Christianity appealing in a modern day and age. And he takes a different approach. Often we think we have to argue people into believing in God. We have to prove how logical and rational it is. And his point was that hasn't gotten us very far over the ages. He says that there are these hungers, these unrecognized needs in our lives that are calling us beyond ourselves to something deeper, ultimately to God. Those are things like the fact that human beings are profoundly religious. Despite all the neo-atheists and saying that science will answer every one of our questions and we don't need anything more than that, the human race keeps looking for something deeper. We keep saying, why something rather than nothing? We keep marveling over the fact that out of nothing but molecules and atoms, lifeless things, all of a sudden life emerges. And not only does life emerge, but consciousness emerges. And not only does consciousness emerge, but out of all of this that started with just atoms and molecules, love emerges. And the wonder of relationship, and we just feel called, there has to be something more and something deeper, something richer behind all of this. He says the call of beauty is also one of the things that draws us beyond ourselves and goes beyond the rational. Which one of us, when we're in nature, isn't touched deeply by any and all of these things? And so Jesus invites and attracts and says, I am the one who can satisfy these needs. There is something more. You'd think the people would be thrilled and just, yes, give us this bread. Satisfy us the deeper hungers of our lives, of our souls. But no, the religious leaders start going, what is he talking about? What? This is just a local kid here. Just a local kid. We grew up with this guy. We know his folks. It's Joe Blow and Mary down the block. How could he do anything that would be amazing? How could he be in touch with God in such a way that he said he can feed our spiritual needs to say that he is the bread of life? You see, their view of what God is and how God acts was wrong. They thought God was up somewhere up there, created everything, and was revealing enough of himself so that we down here, apart from God, could kind of believe in him, kind of follow him so that when we died, we could go up there. Jesus said, no, that's not how it works. From his own experience, starting from his encounter, his experience at his baptism, he realized God was not far away, but God was right here. God was in him. God was surrounding him with his love. God was closer to him than every breath that he could ever take. And this is why he knew, because God had so filled him up that he could offer that to everyone else, and God could fill each and every one of us. That's how things were to work. And the amazing thing is, he saw that not only was he going to be the bread of life, but he said we were going to be his body. We were going to be the bread of life. We were going to be able to give ourselves, our lives, for the life of this world. I was reading an interesting book by a Catholic priest, and he said we need to be called to that awareness, to this larger vision of what our lives are like at every stage. And he said he called upon the Hindu spiritual tradition and said they recognized four stages of life, and he said we'd be good to be reminded of those. He says we all start out as the child, where we're taken care of, loved by our parents, we have fun, we don't have many responsibilities. As we mature, we grow out of that, and we grow into the student phase of our life. During that phase, we have to take more responsibility, and we're learners. We're trained in what we need to get on with the next phase of our life, which is the householder phase. That's when you finally settle down, you get married, you have kids, you have the house, you work hard to be successful at your job, and all that important stage of life. He says, we normally think that that's about it, and then retirement happens, and what do? He says, at that stage in the Hindu tradition, people were expected to be called to the next stage of the journey, the next stage of their life, which was the forest dweller. What was that? The forest dweller was when you're no longer responsible primarily as a caregiver. You're no longer primarily interested in how much money you can make and how many cars and boats you can have and all this and that. Now you're called on to give, to look, to reflect on all that life has given you, the blessings, and to try and discover how you can give yourself away for the life of the broader world. Not just your family and friends and your local business, but now how can you give yourself away to the broader world? And they're called forest dwellers because where are you most called in out of yourself and into the giving yourself to the larger life of the world, but in the beauty of nature? What stage of life is our church at? Well, it's at all stages of life. Sometimes we train the kids. We work with them. We enjoy them. As they get older, they become the student. Many of us are also at the stage where we're the householder and establishing our life and accomplishing all that wonderful stuff. But are we called to become the people who give the fruitfulness of their lives, the harvest of their lives away? I think in many times and in many, many, many ways we are. Years ago, only the pastors used to teach confirmation. That wasn't a very good model. So we said, in addition to the pastors, could we get adults, parents, who would also be there and give their faith to the next generation? And guess what? People responded. We dared to say we could actually give some of ourselves away and help Carrie Gross when she worked with Carrie's kids. And we founded that wonderful ministry, birthed that's still going. We asked, could we give ourselves away and feed the hungry and the lonely of our community? And we said, yes, we can do that with the banquet. Well, I think it's time we are offered now another opportunity to give ourselves away in a very unique way to some of the needs of the community. And I'm going to call upon Gunnar Swanson. He's going to be the coordinator for this new project, and I'm just going to have him tell you just a little bit about it.
Good morning. Over the past few months, representatives from a number of Bismarck area faith congregations have begun to focus on assisting young people in the Youth Correctional Center re-enter into our community. With a proven mentoring and relationship building program called Open Table, which has been used to help veterans, those in poverty, and the homeless get back on their feet, we would like to use this same program structure to build a supportive relationship with individuals re-entering the community from the Youth Correctional Center. This is a brand new use of the Open Table model, and because it's a pilot program, I do expect a few bumps in the road, but this is a real opportunity to help mentor, guide, and build a supportive relationship with individuals who may not otherwise have those things in their lives. I come to you today to ask you to think about volunteering for our Open Table program, to learn more about it, and help us build a supportive group of individuals who are truly interested in helping guide these young adults into our community. This is a truly great opportunity to take our faith into action and give a young person the helping hand that they need. If you're interested in being a part of this, please talk to myself, Pastor Steve, or Pastor Paul. We also are going to have an informational meeting on August 23rd at 3 p.m. here at Trinity. So you can bring along your questions for that, and hopefully we can give you a lot of information that'll help you become interested in this program. Thank you.
Jesus says, I am the bread of the world, so that the very real needs of this world can be met. And we have an opportunity in this way and in so many other ways to be bread for the life of the world as well. Amen.